So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Rondell Crittenden, and as one of the elders here, we want to thank you for your ears, your hearts, your hands, your feet, as you have come and gone this year in 2023. We thank you for the love and the sacrifice and the suffering and the pain, the joy, the hurt that many of you have gone through and have come out on the other end, still being able to function, though your hearts may be hurting, though your hands may be sore, though your feet may be weary, but you still remember that God has a purpose for your life, and you are here today with a thankful heart in remembrance of what our Lord Jesus has done for you. For that I say amen, amen, and amen. With that being said, the elders have come this morning to speak a little bit about some of the things that we have gone through this year in remembrance. And I'll be starting it off, so just bear with me. Dear brothers and sisters, I stand before you today with a heart full of gratitude and a message inspired by the timeless wisdom of Scripture. As we embark on the closing of one year and the beginning of a new year together, let us reflect on the profound purpose of the church, the imperative of reconciliation, and the transformative power of seeking God's vision for his people. The purpose of the church. Our gathering today is not a mere happenstance, but a reflection of God's divine purpose for his church. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we are reminded of the gifts bestowed upon us, each playing a unique role in the body of Christ. As we navigate the challenges of life, let us recognize that our unity in Christ is a testament to God's purpose and what he has for us all. To equip one another, to build each other up, and to attain fullness in Christ. Reconciliation and past hurts. In the tapestry and past reflection of our lives, threads of pain and hurt may linger. However, God's word urges us towards reconciliation. This is both inward as we deal with our own struggles and outwardly as we reconcile with people who may have hurt us. We stand on the threshold of a new year. Let us cast aside the burdens of past grievances, embracing the power of forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 encourages us to bear with one another and forgive, just as the Lord forgave us. May this forgiveness be a balm of healing, fostering unity within the body of Christ. Seeking God's vision. Proverbs 29:18 reminds us, that where there is no vision, a people perish. As we step into this new year, let us collectively seek God's vision for our lives, our church, and his body. Through prayer, reflection, and a deep engagement with Scripture, let us align our aspirations with God's divine purpose. In doing so, we will open ourselves to a path illuminated by God's wisdom, grace, and unfathomable love. Unity through understanding. Our unity as a body of believers is not in uniformity, but in understanding. Let us heed the call of Philippians 2, verse 2, to be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. This unity does not erase our diversity, but celebrates it, recognizing that our differences, when embraced in love, contribute to the richness of our shared journey in Christ. Seeking God and moving forward. As we look ahead to unknowns of the coming year, let us remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Let our steps be guided by prayer, faith, and a continual seeking of God's presence. May the Holy Spirit be our compass, directing us individually and collectively as we move forward into this new season. In conclusion, let us embrace the purpose of the church, actively pursuing reconciliation. Seek God's vision, foster unity through understanding, and above all, lean on God as we step into an uncharted territory of the new year. Together, let us make 2024 a year marked by the transformative power of God's love and grace in our lives and in the life of our church. Amen. Brother David.
Since Rondell had prepared his thoughts, I decided I better do the same. No one wants to hear me ramble. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. That's not original to me. However, I know some here have experienced these extremes this year. From celebrations for births, both physical and spiritual, graduations, new jobs, marriages, anniversaries, and the like, to mourning over loss, grief, pain, and sorrow, 2023 had it all. I guess every year is packed with these feelings, but it's more poignant when it's so recent and also so personal. A lot of people, when you experience these things, it becomes real to you. It takes time to work through the feelings and experiences and learn from them. In everything, we continue to learn to give thanks to God in all circumstances and to lean on one another and bear each other's burdens just as we share each other's joys. God is good. I'm thankful he doesn't change with the calendar. That's one thing we can always count on. God's going to be the same, and he will always be there, and he will always be good. That's a matter of just a great amen and thanksgiving to God, right? So that's one thing God's done for us. God has blessed us with several lessons this year that I feel we ought to take to heart going forward. For example, I'm going to use one example here. During our study of 2 Corinthians, we presented a series of questions based on Paul's statement that we should examine ourselves. This is one area that we can grow towards maturity by actively practicing what we heard preached. One reason I mentioned this is the first set of these questions was to the church leaders. So I'm not saying we need to do this, in other words, you. We need to do this, me. All of us need to learn. And there's been several lessons this year in which I think it's great that we have great sermons. It's great that we have great lessons. But if it's only a moment in time and we don't appropriate that knowledge and put it in practice, it does us no good. So think back over what's been taught and learn how do we apply that. I have to be an example as we do these things of what we should be as a body going forward. We've heard many great lessons. We've also heard moving testimonies of how Jesus has changed lives, and He will continue to do so in 2024. For this, I am thankful. Just amazingly thankful for the men who've shared from up here, people we've shared with in our body here, and we've heard from how God has done something in their life that it couldn't have been done any other way. Only God can do these things. Now we, the body here, have the opportunity to share in discipling these young Christians to grow in their walk with Jesus and to persevere in their faith. What a blessing to us to be called by God to help and to put in practice what we know. God sees fit to call us to be participants with Him in discipling these people. Thank God. What an opportunity He's given us. It's part of our mission as a community that follow Jesus. I'm thankful to God for those who are here who've been in Christ for many years. You're an inspiration to all of us. And I mean that. It's just been very deeply felt that I wanted to say that for many years. Thank you so much for so many who have many decades of faith. Not just recent, not 20, 30, we're talking 40, 50 or more years. What an inspiration to all of us. And I look forward to finding opportunities in 2024 for you to share your faith with the rest of us, especially to hear how Jesus impacted your life and brought you to faith in Him and have inspired you to persevere in this faith. The perseverance of faith is what matters. Coming to faith is great. It's a wonderful thing to be able to start this race. But what a blessing for those who've persevered and hung in there. What we need to hear from each other is this: how we persevere together. What a blessing. To those here who are young, or at least younger than me, which is quite a number of you, I'm thankful to God for your faith, for what God is doing in your life. I know many are involved with children of this congregation and have a heart for serving them in various ways. This has been very evident to us as elders, and I want to share this as well. We are looking forward to finding ways of encouraging our children to grow in their knowledge of and in service to the grace of our Lord Jesus. This is something we are looking forward to this coming year. We thank you for so many of you who have that heart. Through a time of prayer and fasting, I believe the Spirit is leading us in a few areas that are crucial for our faith. So I have three that I've mentioned here. I want to just read them through for you. There's times, corporate times of prayer, to be focused more in taking delight in the Lord and seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. We often pray for many things. Sometimes I think we need to go back and read the Psalms and look at what the psalmist called to us to. The number of times he says, seek His face, seek first the kingdom. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added. We need to seek God. We need to be people who are looking to God. If we set our desires on God and He's giving us the desires of our heart, we get Him. We don't get stuff. We get Him. That's huge. That's a blessing we all need to make sure we're more appropriating in our lives and in our body here in our time together is prayer, when we pray together. And I think that's one thing we've also looked forward to is more time of prayer together. Number two, our Bible study that goes beyond gaining knowledge into transforming our lives. Learning about God, learning deeply about what God has done in our life, learning how God acts and how He's done it in the past, those are great. Those are fantastic things for us. But we need to move past that, grow in this. So I think it's wonderful when I hear people talk about their daily Bible readings. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful, too, to hear when people say, I was reading this and I realized I need a change in this area. I need to consider something in my life. We need to be not only hearing the word, but putting it into practice. I think many are, but we need to grow in this as a body together. And just that's an area that I see that's coming up here. Number three, closer loving relationships with each other as we serve, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. These are all areas we can grow in 2024. That one particularly, I want to hit on one thing that I didn't put in the write-up, but we just had a sermon series on repentance, restoration, reconciliation, and restoration. Repentance comes from when I recognize I'm wrong, I say I'm sorry. I go to somebody and I try to make it right. Repent, turning from something. Jesus tied in the Sermon on the Mount, right after the prayer, right immediately after the model prayer he gives everyone, he tells them, by the way, if you don't forgive people their sins, your sins won't be forgiven. But if you forgive, you will be forgiven. Which he inextricably he ties that right to the prayer, which is interesting to me because I think sometimes our prayers are hindered because we got something against somebody. In 2024, that's things we need to work through and make sure we are working toward the repentance and restoration of relationships. And as Tom covered, I think, excellently job of restoration means full, total, like you want with God, which is that's what we're looking for with each other. Be in prayer, be just focused on, I want to be right with my brothers and sisters. If there's somebody that has something against me, come to me, let's make it right. If I have something, I need to make it right. Do not hold grudges. The word Christianity and grudge don't go together. They don't. You can't do that. You have to be able, willing to forgive and move forward. And I think that's a beautiful thing for us as a body of people. And this is not just for people here in this room. I'm talking about if you got something against somebody else and you're wondering why your prayer life is suffering, maybe you need to look at forgiveness. Look at your own life. What do you have against somebody that you need to forgive? And what has somebody got against you that you need to go and ask their forgiveness of? Paul covers that pretty clearly in Romans 12, that as far as it depends on you, live at peace. You can't speak for the other person. It's not about what they do. It's what you do. You do your part. God will take care of the rest. And then turn it over to Him and let Him solve that. So that's part of what I want to cover here in the forgiveness that's tied to our prayers. At the moment, I want to stop and pray with us. So let's spend some moment in prayer. So if I just invite you to bow with me. Lord, I thank you, first and foremost, for the goodness of who you are, the fact that you are holy, that you are so different from us. You're so completely other, and yet you called us to be like you, that you sent your Son to die for us, to make us justified with you through his blood and through his resurrection, that we have hope. And in this justification, you set us right with you, and now you're working to sanctify us, to make us like your Son, to change us, to be conformed in the likeness of your word. Lord, help us to die to ourselves, to get out of the way so that you can live in us. Lord, we know we call your name holy, and we thank you for your holiness and for the goodness that you've given us and the fact that you've called us to be holy. Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we ask that your will be done in our lives, and that means whatever's in the way that's stopping that will from being done, Lord, help us to get rid of those things, to put those things to death, to die to them, to move past them so that we can let your will be done. And it may not be what we want, but it's what we need because the promises you've made us are so amazing of what's to come. Lord, help us keep our eyes fixed on those promises of the good that you promised so that your will done in our life is your kingdom coming. And your coming is such a way that it brings others to your kingdom. Lord, today and every day we ask for our daily needs, for bread, for the food we eat, for the clothes we wear, the things that we... But you know that we need these things. Lord, I think you want us to be mindful of them by asking. And so, Lord, I ask that you give us today what we need for the day. And Lord, that's you. You are the bread of life. We need you desperately every day to be poured out in our lives. Lord, as we forgive, help us to understand that that's who you are. You are a forgiving, a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, that you forgive sin, wickedness, and rebellion. Lord, we ask that as we forgive others, those who sin against us, that you will forgive us. We understand that is part of the deal. It's part of who you are. It's how you've made this world to be. For all of us to forgive. We can't hold on to sins and hold on to grudges and things that others have done to us. We must let those go. So Lord, help us to be forgiving and forgiven. Thank you for this forgiveness. It cost you your Son to forgive us. Help us to pay the price to make sure we are forgiving others and realizing that price was already paid by Jesus. And that as we see Him, we see He's the payment of all sin, even sin done against us. So Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for this great indescribable gift. Lord, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Lord, there are many of us who struggle. Lord, there are some places we're asking you not to lead us, but we run ahead and go there anyway. Lord, help us to have the wisdom and the leading of your Spirit to be able to stay away from things that will cause us to be tempted, to cause us to fall. Lord, help us to have this guidance from your Spirit that lives in us, the promise that you've given us. Lord, help us to be your people, living for you, given totally to you. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Lord, just thank you for your kingdom that you've blessed us with, that we are part of. And one day we will reign with you as you promised. What an amazing thought that that's what we were created for. We were not created just to exist, but to rule with you, working with you, in communion with you and your Son, in your Spirit. What a gift. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So finally, I want to share with you an invitation. One of the worst feelings in the world is feeling you're left out or unwanted. I don't know how many people have been in sports or things, and when kids calling things when you're young, and if you were the last one picked for the team. Anybody ever had that experience? Some of the people who are really good at athletics, they were never the last ones. They were one of the first ones. Well, some of us experience the other end of the line. It's not a great experience, is it? If you've ever experienced that before, I want you to know something. You're welcomed here. Here. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world to fulfill the Father's will, and He did. This will was to make it possible for anyone who is willing to turn from their own ways, ways that lead us to a life of futility and ultimately death, to having faith in the Son and following the Son, and He will give you life everlasting. We believe from the Scriptures this involves repentance from that way of life, dying to that life of futility by calling on the name of the Lord in baptism, being filled with His Holy Spirit, and living a changed life that is empowered by His Spirit within you, standing firm in this faith throughout your life, and ultimately reigning eternally with Him. If this is a life you want, you're invited. If you've already placed your faith in Jesus but have sins in your life that you want to help overcoming, or if you need to share something with the congregation, perhaps a prayer request that you want us to join with you, please come as we stand and sing.
Morning, folks. You know, this is the last day of the year, New Year's Eve. I don't, maybe it's just me. I just think it's sort of neat or cool that it's on Sunday. That's just me. But you know, at the end of a year, we sometimes will reflect
on the walk we took through the previous year and the experiences we had, and we may also make New Year's resolutions so that our walk through the next year will be better. But what I'd like to do this morning is first to reflect on our lives, but I'd like for us to go back to some special times in our past for just a moment. Go back to that point in time when you decided to follow Jesus. And think about where you would be now if you had decided not to follow him. Or go back to those influences in your life that led to your decision to follow Jesus. And think about where you would be now if you had never had those influences. That is, you'd never learned about Jesus. Think about that. You know, what things would have you focused on for the last several years of your life? What would have you pursued, you know, without God in your life? You know, the foremost thing probably would have been pursuing those things that would have brought you pleasure, things that you thought would make you happy. Money, houses, cars, fun, alcohol, drugs, getting promotions at work. But how much agony and unhappiness would that selfish lifestyle have brought on you? Would you now be looking back at all this and asking, what was the point? Or would you be so blinded by what you were pursuing that you would not be able to see how meaningless they all are without God? What problems or really unpleasant experiences of life might you have had to go through without a relationship with God? How painful would that have been? You know, I've thought about that. I remember the direction my life was going before I became a Christian. And I remember I had no consideration for how God wanted me to live. And when I take that and I project that to me now, you know, 40, 50, 60 years later, it really scares me when I think what my life would be like right now. And if you think about how your life could be right now, having decided not to follow Jesus or never hearing about him, it might really scare you too. You know, a question that sometimes haunts me is, what did I ever do to even deserve to hear about him? A question like that might haunt you too. But you did have godly influences in your life. You did hear about Jesus, and you did decide to follow him. And he has given all of us real meaning and purpose for our lives. In John 10:10, Jesus is talking and he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And he has given you a relationship with God. In 1 John 3:1, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And it is not an arm's length relationship. For in Philippians 4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So, as we remember Jesus now in this Lord's Supper, let's be thankful for that salvation he's given us. Be thankful for the purpose that he's given us. Be thankful for the relationship that we have with God. And as we walk through 2024, let that gratitude spur us to walk as Jesus walked. Let's pray. Father, we really thank you for the opportunity, for whatever it was that took place in our lives for us to get to know you, hear about you, know about you, and for the crushed spirits that we had when we decided to follow you. We thank you that we're able to be children of yours, It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you again just for this memorial. You just, you know, every week it gives us an opportunity to remind us of just how good you really are, how merciful you really are, and what you've really done for us. Just may we just use this to just help spur us to always be grateful through the rest of the days of the week. Through Jesus, amen. Thank you.